Our choir always does such great work, and now we have a new choir director as well. We're going to take an offering up for some shoes, but...
Good luck with that.
Okay. Just saying. Let me turn your attention, if I may, to our scripture lesson today coming from the Gospel of Matthew in the 20th chapter. Begin reading at verse 8 through 16. Hear now the word of the Lord. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do with what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be the first, and the first will be the last. Shall we pray? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, let them be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our redeemer. And if we cannot hear your words through the words of humankind, then speak to each of us in the quietness of our own hearts. Amen. I don't know anybody that doesn't enjoy the fairy tale of Cinderella. When my girls were small, that was their favorite story for me to read. And when we talked about this poor little girl who had an evil stepmother, who also had evil stepsisters, who made her life miserable, we would practice our sad face together. Life's just not going to be good in those sad, sad moments. But into this arena comes the fairy godmother, who somehow instills faith that somehow things can be better than what they seem. And lo and behold, it does. Why is this story so popular? Because all of us have been there. All of us know about what it's like to have those sad times. Those moments when you seem that the world is going to be so dark and so foreboding. Imagine the residents of Mexico City. You know, the longest street in Mexico City is 46 miles long. That's how big this city is. And imagine a 7.1 earthquake in that city, and the number of people who are affected. There have been stories of children trapped in buildings and persons in convalescent homes that could, you know, were crying for help. You can't imagine what it'd be like to be in the midst of all of that, and you couldn't blame anybody for feeling maybe sorry for themselves, even though maybe they escaped death. But there are those moments when you think, how could this happen to us? Why us? Why Mexico City? Or then again, you think about Puerto Rico, who has sustained one of the worst storms they've ever had in 100 years. How a hurricane would start at one end of the island and go through the dead center of the full length of the island. They're saying there may not be power there from 3 to 6 months. And there is a dam there in the middle of the island that is there. And it's not just some itty-bitty little thing. It's huge, like maybe the Hoover Dam. And it's got cracks in it. And they're telling people to evacuate. They're afraid that tens of thousands of people will drown when that volume of water is turned loose. If you were living in Puerto Rico, what would you be thinking about yourself? Why me? Why does this have to happen? Aren't there other islands? I mean, if this is the force of God, why doesn't God choose just to love somebody else? We all have those moments where we get rather cynical about life. And we start to focus solely upon ourselves and our plight and our pity, and we can't see anybody else in the world. The parable that we have here in the story from Matthew talks about a landowner who goes out in the morning, and the shifts usually start at 6 in the morning, at 9, and then at 12, and then at 3, and goes out and hires these workers, and goes out at the 1 hour left, at 5 o'clock, and hires people. And then he switches the order of the pay, and the people who've been there all day long get to watch the people over here who only work 1 hour, and they get the same wage. And they're upset. And they want to know why it is that they didn't get something more. And the landowner says, "Do you begrudge my generosity?" My generosity. Not yours, mine. Sometimes when we are so focused upon ourselves, when the world turns in and it gets so dark like that, we can't see light anywhere else. All we see is our own despair. But it's for people in that particular situation, because they feel the way that they do, that generosity doesn't even seem like an option. And then when someone else gets the generosity rather than us, we really feel cheated. The implications of the story are huge, and they're clear here because they've got this parody here on the Jewish people who somehow saw themselves as the recipient of the covenant. And if anybody who has suffered more for the cause of God, it would be them throughout history. And now we have Gentiles that are offered the grace of God. The people who heard this story knew exactly where this story was going, because there were those who were then the faith who could not see why others needed the generosity of God. And sometimes you have to wonder if that's not a pretty good description of the church today. That we want to focus upon ourselves, and we don't want to see what's going on in the world around us. And because of that, generosity is not even being an option. When you're being cynical, when you're turned inward, the last thing anybody can talk to you about is being generous and looking outward and caring about others, because you're putting yourself first. And when you make an island out of yourself, you can't even see other people or even the need to be generous with others. How many of you know of a generous person in your life? This morning, I had a firsthand experience of that. We were at the 8:30 service. Eric was not there. We did not have a piano player. Okay, we're not doing the offering for the shoes. You know, guilt is such a wonderful thing. But that really wasn't where I was going. Don't listen to this. So I told them that we were going to do a mean impression of the Church of Christ and sing hymns, and I was going to lead them. And God had pity on his people. And there was a guest sitting in that room who said, "I play piano." They applauded. I was ready to go. But she came up to the piano. She played the hymn. Everybody applauded her. Generosity. She didn't have to play. She didn't even know she was going to play. I did tell her, though, in the service, said, "If you would, pick your favorite hymn, and whatever it is, that's what we're going to close with." And she chose "Victory in Jesus." There you go. Do you know any generous people? They're everywhere. Got a phone call from a friend of mine who was stranded on the side of the road in a major city, had a flat tire pulled over to the side. She didn't know what she was going to do. She called me. Really? Okay. I asked, did you put your flashers on? And she'd already called for her roadside assistance and said, they're not going to be here for an hour. And I said, but do you have your flashers on? And she said, why would you do that? And I said, just turn them on. Just turn them on. One, you won't get run over. A retired pastor saw those lights, pulled over, and said, ma'am, can I help you? I'd like to put your spare on for you. Is that okay with you? Duh. Yeah. Yeah, you can do that for me. Do you know any generous people? Are you one? Are you generous? Well, if you're not, how do you get generous? I'm going to give you two suggestions. Here's the first one. This afternoon, right after the service, we're having the luncheon that you heard called The Next. It's an opportunity for people who have been guests of the church, those who've been visiting regularly, those of members of the church who've heard about other opportunities to serve and would really like to know more about the church and how to get involved. How many people do you think accepted the invitation to be there? There will be nearly 50 people at that luncheon. Is that not awesome? Now, why would anybody in their right mind want to go to a luncheon like that? Because they want to be a part of a team. And we all know what that's like. When you're playing together with a group of people and everybody is like-minded and you're committed in the same direction, it's a whole lot more fun, right? How many Super Bowl parties have you been to? When you're together with a team and you're with other people who support a certain cause, that cause becomes your cause. Because it's fun being together with people who can celebrate the victories as well as share the defeats. It's better to be in a team. And if you want to be more generous, I dare you to get around a generous person and just be with them. Reese McKeever called me this week and he said, Don, what is my status as a United Methodist in your church? And I said, Reese, you're loved. That isn't what he was looking for. That family is going to be joining the Dripping Springs United Methodist Church today. And he wanted to know what his status was so he could tell the pastor so they could actually join that church. When I think of Reese McKeever, I think back to the days when our church was a part of the HPU freshman orientation, and the families would come with their loved ones, and you know they'd have all those possessions. And for some reason, I guess it was required at Howard Payne that every freshman bring a refrigerator to Howard Payne. And we volunteered to pick up those refrigerators and take them up to the top floor and put them in their rooms. I would have never done that without Reese. He was a human dynamo, and he was looking for ways to touch people. If you're not a generous person, hang around one that is. Because if you get close enough, you're going to get sucked in. And you're going to be finding yourself doing things that maybe you wouldn't have done on your own. And I think that's why people are coming to The Next today. They want to get near somebody who's on fire, somebody who's excited, somebody who wants to make a difference. And when you get around people like that, you want to do more and more and more and more. If you're not generous, hang around people who are. And you will find yourself doing things you never thought possible. The other thing is this. In the parable of the talents, the one who was given five talents, double it. And then he was told by the master, take the one talent that was given to the first servant and give it to him. There was a reward. It is amazing to me who the people are who are the most generous people who seem to attract more blessings. One lady came to me and she said, Don, I want you to know that I pray regularly for a parking spot whenever I go to the store. You're a prayer warrior, I can tell. That was important to her. It was important. Does anybody in this room want to go to her and say, look, really, that's just a coincidence? I mean, when parking spots are there, really, you want to involve God in a parking spot? Isn't that just kind of selfish? You want to tell him that? No. No. People who are generous, people who believe they are blessed by God, are the people who also find blessings. They find them. Now, it's kind of dangerous to get on this thin limb that's here, because there's some people when we start talking like that, and they'll say, well, yeah, you're giving to get. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about twisting God's arm and putting God in a full Nelson and saying, you know, I deserve more. I'm talking about the people who honestly and sincerely are out there giving themselves for others, and they find that there are other people who want to do the same for them. People who are blessed are blessed. Are you with me? The people who tithe. You know, it's almost that time of year again. We'll have a campaign to support next year's budget. One of the least popular topics you can talk about is about money in church. Even though a third of the New Testament is dedicated to giving, we don't want to hear about it. Because all of us can make the case that whatever we have, we deserve, and nobody else should even talk about it. I'll manage my thing, you do your thing. But when you talk to a generous person, they're going to go, yeah, I believe in that. And yes, I believe in proportional giving. Yes, I want to try that, because it's a part of knowing that I'm not only a part of a team, but when I do that, it makes me aware of how grateful I am for what I have and the opportunity to share. If you tell someone to tithe because it's legal, you know, it's in the Bible, supposed to do it, usually falls on deaf ears. But you go to a generous person, and you tell them, here's an opportunity for you not only to impact your life, but the lives of others, and they're right on board, and they want to do it, and they're a part of it. Don't go to someone who's cynical and ask them to tithe. They won't even listen to you. But you go to someone who's generous, yeah, they're going to look at that. They're going to give it a try. And what we find out is the more as we give ourselves, we find out that the grace of God is even greater than what we ever knew before. And as we give, we are given unto. And we begin to understand how God feels about sharing his blessings with others when we make the decision to share from ourselves in the same way. You see, you can't talk to a cynical person about giving. You can't. They're not going to hear you, because they're too busy, too focused. But talk to a generous person, and they're going to hear an opportunity not only to grow, but to touch the lives of others. Cinderella had a fairy godmother and a happy ending. Those of us who know Christ, those of us who know that the grace of God is endless, that the miracles of God never cease, that the love of God is greater than any problem that we've got. These are the people who are blessed and really don't mind trying to be a blessing for others. Shall we pray? Eternal God, it's so easy in this world to burrow ourselves into a cave and just hope against hope that everything will turn out all right. But that's not how Jesus lived. He lived his life in faith. He lived his life in giving himself for others. And as he gave himself to others, he found out that you gave yourself completely to him. No one of us can outgive God. Help us, O God, in this age of cynicism, division, war, that we might be that people of God you created us to be. May we see the needs of others as clearly as we see our own, and may we learn to be generous and not envious. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.